I see you wearing the ascot.
Yes.
Is that in support of Roland Martin? Because I like it. It's nice.
Who the hell is Roland Martin?
You got to be kidding me.
From Washington, D.C., Roland Martin. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom, Sybil, Jay. Man, we got a packed show today. Chris Rock will be joining us on News One Now, so looking forward to that. And, of course, Tom, check me out on Dr. Field later today, talking about the Eric Garner case. And South Carolina State, I'm going to see y'all tomorrow, Columbia, for your commencement address. I'm the commencement speaker. And so, Jay, I know you don't have that experience, but the graduates, they will enjoy it.
No, when you go to Denmark, I'll be there, man.
Absolutely. Tom, tomorrow, all across the country, it has been billed as a day of resistance. There are going to be marches and protests nationwide, all tied to Black Lives Matter, I Can't Breathe, Hands Up, Don't Shoot. Of course, Reverend Sharpton has a march in the nation's capital. There are going to be marches in, my goodness, in New York, in Chicago, Los Angeles, you name it. Joining us right now is a young brother who has been on the front lines since August, since Mike Brown was shot and killed by Darren Wilson. He is Tef Poe, co-founder of Hands Up United there in Ferguson, Missouri. Hey, Tef, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going? I'm doing great.
Man, you and other young folks, in many ways, what we are seeing today, to me, is reminiscent of lunch counter sit-ins that spread like wildfire, started by four students at North Carolina A&T, and that just went swept across the South. I think a lot of people, they thought by now all of this would dissipate, but the intensity is increasing when it comes to Black Lives Matter and the pressure being put on police to make changes.
Yeah, you know, one thing that I really want to stress that is this isn't a fly-by-night situation. This isn't a situation where these things are just happening because, you know, they're trendy and it's fun to be in the streets. We're really organized on a national level, well beyond what people think. The things that I see behind the scenes, if you could see what I see, if you could live the life that I live, this is a 24-hour-a-day process. We don't stop. We barely sleep, and we're really serious about what we're doing.
One of the things that a lot of people also, I've heard some people say, okay, fine, folks are having this protest, but what's the end game? And I said, well, first of all, you can't determine the end game when you're at the beginning of a game. You and others have made it perfectly clear that there are a list of demands you want to see changes made on the local, state, and federal level as well. What are some of those?
Well, you know, a lot of our demands are just rooted in real-time accountability. There's different demands from organization to organization because each local community has its own specific concerns. For example, out here in St. Louis, originally we were pushing really hard for body cams and we wanted Chief Jackson from the Ferguson Police Department to resign. But, you know, since August 9th, our demands have kind of shifted more into supporting the national narrative, supporting things that people from all across the country can support. So if you go to handsupunited.org, which is the website, we have a list of those demands and also a comprehensive plan to really move this from just being in the streets to actually getting things done behind the scenes with the legislative pieces as well.
How are you all funded?
Well, a lot of us, we just get it from the community. We stress mm-hmm. community support. We put out, we have a comprehensive plan where we just go out and talk to the people. That's the difference between this and a lot of other movements that we can't sit behind a desk and get it done. I'm young. I had to get out in the streets when Mike Brown was murdered and talk to the folks in that neighborhood to get the real story. And ever since that day, those folks have held us down and supported us.
That's nice.
Why do you personally feel what you're doing is important?
For me personally, I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. I grew up in a culture here where we couldn't drive down certain streets at night. If I have certain friends, I have friends from the community of North County. If we were going out at night and we called those people and said, yo, we're going out, where you at? If you lived in North County, you'd be stuck in North County because we weren't coming to get you due to the reputation of the police. I've been walking home to my mother's house countless times. Cops pull me over on the sidewalk while I'm walking on foot. I have to put my hands up to show that I don't have a weapon. I'm minding my own business. I think that this fight for us is just the next level of humanizing black people in America. The previous generation, their fight was a lot deeply rooted in voters' rights and really getting us to be respected more so on the political front. And I think that they've accomplished a lot of those goals. And I think now we're moving into a more of a cultural narrative. When you see black people or black men, even black women, because we don't bring black women up as much as we need to in the conversation of police brutality. But when you see black people in general, you don't just look at us as whatever stereotypical objection you typically viewed us through, whether that be by the media or whatever avenue that created that.
Tef, you were one of the folks who was supposed to be in the Oval Office with the president last week, but travel issues kept you from being there. He met with young activists, and they were not afraid to challenge the president to do more. So when you talk about accountability, you guys, y'all have made it clear accountability from the president, from the Department of Justice, but also from traditional civil rights organizations as well.
True. And I think that's what's different than this situation. That's what differs this situation from a lot of previous protest moments. We feel as if we have to be real with each other. We feel as if we have to be real no matter who we talk to. Even when I talk to you about some of the things we discussed, Ro, I can't change my narrative just because I'm talking to Roland Martin. I have to be true to the cause, true to myself.
Right.
And if I'm not, there's people who will hold me accountable when those conversations are finished. So that's been the challenge for us from the very, very start. Young women pushing young men in situations where they don't typically challenge us. Young men not being afraid to step aside and kill some of the things that are attached to patriarchy and misogyny just to give the young women a space to lead when they typically wouldn't have a space. And that transfers over into something like when you're in a room with the president or you're in a room with the senator or whoever. And you ask yourself, you know, this is a moment where I can either keep it real, I can keep it as real as I've always imagined that I'm capable of doing, or I can just go in here and just sell out.
Are you marching every day?
I don't march every day. We got people out there every day. In the beginning, I was, but
I'm proud of you.
I'm too busy.
As a child of the civil rights movement, I am so proud of what you're doing and keeping the focus on what we're talking about. Injustice and police brutality. I am so proud of you.
Congratulations to you.
Tef, what's the website?
HandsUpUnited.org.
All right. Tef Poe.
Can you buy t-shirts on your website and donate to the cause?
We're not selling t-shirts at the moment, but you can donate.
Okay.
All right. HandsUpUnited.org. Tef Poe, thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
All right.
That's what it's all about. Next generation taking lead.
That's right.
Makes me feel good. And Roland's commentary is brought to you by TV One. 25 before the hour.